As we face a global pandemic, Crossing the Globe is exploring the stories of LSE's international students. In their journeys from London to home, we discuss the impact of COVID-19 on student health, well-being, and studies. In this episode, we talk to Safwa Baradi, a first-year international relations student who flew back to Morocco after LSE's closure. Safwa shares with us what adapting to life at home has been like for her, and talks about how she has been coping with isolation. Beaver Sound is adapting to our current reality by recording episodes online, so sound quality has been impacted. Safwa, thank you for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you for having me.
Where exactly are you in Morocco, just so that our listeners know?
So right now I am in Casablanca, which I think is the city that most people are familiar with in Morocco.
That's wonderful. Okay, for starters, I wanted to ask, how are you feeling?
Well, today I would say I'm feeling really good. I've been here for a long time now, so I've had the time to adapt and, you know, overcome any sadness or confusion that I was feeling at first. So I would say that today I'm feeling good.
That's great. So for how long have you been at home now?
I've been here for exactly a month and 3 days. I came on Friday, 13th of March, and now it's the 16th of April.
Okay, so you came in early.
Yep.
What was the journey home, back home, like? Did you face any complications traveling home? Because a lot of people did, or were you stressed? You came quite early, I guess, more or less. So how was it like?
So for me, it was it was a bit of a weird journey, because I remember that week, the week I came, on Wednesday, one of my friends wanted to leave. She wanted to go home. And I was talking to her. I was like, are you crazy? It's really not that bad. You know, you shouldn't just stay until the Easter break and it's going to be fine. That was on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, I was talking to my friends. I have some friends in, I have a friend in Spain and a friend in New York who were both going to come and visit me in London that week. And they were telling me how their parents were scared for them and how they didn't want them to come anymore. And again, I was being that person. I was like, oh, come on, guys, like, you shouldn't be thinking like this. It's all going to be fine. Just come. We've been planning this for so long. And that was Thursday morning. And then I went to class. Everything was fine. And then Thursday afternoon, I was talking to my parents because I was like, maybe they're the ones who are right. Maybe I'm making a mistake by staying here. And then we received the email from LSE telling us that online classes were going to start on the 23rd. And then I just felt like I needed to do something about my situation. So, you know, from me on Thursday morning, telling everybody that everything is fine, that we should all stay, it became me on Thursday afternoon. I was booking a flight. And a lot of my friends were feeling the same. So we all gathered, we all went to this pub and we kind of said our goodbyes. So I got lucky because I did it early. Flights were not that expensive. I could still manage to find an affordable flight home and the borders were still open. And I knew I had to come early because Morocco was closing its borders so early, like earlier than most countries, I think. I'm happy that I did it. And as for the journey home, it was pretty normal, you know. I think everybody was kind of feeling, you could feel the tension in the airport. People didn't want to be close to each other. But people were actually nicer, I think, because my luggage was overweight and they were like, it's fine, just go home. Yeah, so I think for the journey, it was really normal. Nothing complicated happened.
That's great. I too thought was going to stay in London for 3 weeks and then in one day changed my mind and booked my flight. Yeah. Okay, so how's the situation in Morocco right now? Can you leave your house? Can you not leave at all?
Well, as I said, Morocco was really early in taking action with closing the borders and everything. And so I think a week or so after I came, we were already on lockdown, which, you know, means that I couldn't leave home unless it was for, you know, grocery shopping. Okay. I can't really go out. You know, if I go out, it's to buy vegetables and you know, food. But I can still, you know, leave the house from time to time.
So let's move on to talk about your personal experience adjusting to life at home. I wonder how's it been so far to living with your family, kind of unexpectedly. I know that I lived in Hong Kong before coming to the UK because you were studying abroad. So it's not the first time you come back to your family, but still it's always an adjustment. How do you feel?
Well, I think I'm one of those lucky ones that feels happy to be home and to be with my family, because I know that it's, for some people, it's hard, you know, it can be frustrating to be home for a long time. But as you said, it's actually my third year now living abroad. And so, you know, anytime I get to be home, I'm really happy about it. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy that I came. I was feeling a bit homesick even before. So, I don't know. I guess it's a pretty good situation for me right now.
All right. So it seems like you're doing fairly well. Still, these days, we are talking a lot about the effects of isolation to our mental health. And I'm wondering if you feel like your mental health has been affected, you know, if at all, by this isolation experience.
Yes, I mean, I would be lying if I said no, because, you know, as I said, I do enjoy family time, but it was a change that I did not expect at all. Mm-hmm. And so in the first weeks that I was here, I found myself being really nostalgic about, you know, just being in London and being with my friends and going to uni. I started to miss that a lot. Not like right away, I was like, I would wake up in London right now. I know I would be having this class, but I missed it. So at first, I guess that's the thing that affected me mentally the most or emotionally. But I think I'm in a good place right now because I've just accepted it. You know, I know that I'm not going to be in London until next year. So, you know, now that I have that in mind, it's just going to be, what, 5 or 6 more months until I go back. So I might as well live those 6 or 5 months that I have now for what they are, which is going to be, you know, living here at home, or hopefully maybe in the summer it's going to be traveling. I kind of got out of that mindset of, oh, I wish I was in London right now. Other than that, I would say that, you know, when I first came, the situation was getting worse in Morocco. Mm-hmm. And so in those first days where the situation was getting worse, I didn't want to panic because my mom does that for the whole family. So I tried to be the calm one. But still, you know, deep down, I was kind of scared because I was starting to ask myself questions like, when is this going to end? Is it going to end? You know, you start kind of freaking out, even if you don't want to. For me, I think what helped me is honestly just religion and thinking, you know, just believing that everything is going to be fine in the end, and also that whatever is going to happen is going to happen. I just found some comfort in the idea that if something's going to happen to me, it's going to happen to me, right? And I think that's calmed me down a lot. And just, you know, even if you're not a religious person, just believing that everything's going to be fine in the end, because it will, I think can help you out a lot.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing with us your thought process and how you've been dealing with this. Is there anything that has been helping you with coping with the situation? So you mentioned religion. A lot of people have been talking about how taking up creative activities that they didn't have the time to do at LSE has been a really good way to cope and deal with the situation and actually find a silver lining. What's been yours?
So I had this habit in London of whenever I would take the bus, I would have this book that I was reading. And when I came here, I kind of stopped reading just because I was watching so much Netflix, you know. But then I took up reading again, which, you know, it always calms me down when I'm reading because, you know, you kind of get into another headspace. You don't think about the reality of where you are anymore. So reading has been one, and also just the fact that, you know, I'm at home all the time and I'm not being really active. I feel like that impacts me mentally as well. So I've been trying to find ways to kind of be active inside my house. I live in Casablanca, so it's an apartment, you know, I don't have a garden or anything where I can, I don't know, do exercise or anything. So I took up jumping rope. Because it's, you know, it's cheap, it doesn't take that much space, and it's so much harder than you imagine. You know, the first day I did it, I was like, yeah, this is easy. You know, I used to do this when I was a kid, so how hard can it be? And then I did it, and it was really hard. And I got so frustrated with myself. I was like, how could you be able to do this when you were a kid? And now, you know, you're 20 and you can't jump rope anymore. So I started, you know, I looked up, it's so dumb to say it, but I looked up tutorials on YouTube and everything.
That's adorable.
And I've been doing it now, slowly, you know, improving. Yeah, I'm actually improving fast. I don't know. I think jumping rope, just because it's something that reminds you of your childhood, it just kind of puts you in this happy place, you know? Well, there's also the fact that it's an exercise, right? So there's the whole science behind it of how it releases like happy hormones and everything. But it's also, yeah, I think also the fact that, you know, it reminds you of your childhood and like happier times. I would recommend it to anybody that's in quarantine right now. I also have my little brother who still has, you know, he still has classes and everything. And I have to help him out. I have to, you know, act as his teacher. I'm really not a patient person. So sometimes, you know, I regret it every time, but I start screaming at him. I'm like, how can you not understand this math? It's so easy. But I think at the end of the day, when I, you know, I'm done helping him and I'm proud because he made some progress and he's understanding the lesson now, I think that's helping me as well. You know, feeling like I'm doing something for him, for somebody else, and just feeling satisfaction for him and for, you know, having taught him something, that's also helping me. And also having a brother in general, it can be a headache, but it's also very entertaining. So I'm never bored. He makes sure of that. He makes sure that I'm never bored, even if that means annoying me. You know, he still, you know, he always wants to play, or he wants me to do this whatever thing with him. So yeah, I mean, if you have, you know, if you have siblings, even if they're not younger than you, try to reconnect with them. I think it's a really good time to reconnect with your family if it's something that you haven't done in a long time.
That's really nice. Okay, so I have two questions to finish off. The first one is, what do you miss most about LSE's campus and about the life you had in London?
I mean, really easy. I miss my friends, you know. I miss just being able to call up someone like, hey, do you wanna grab a cup of coffee? Do you wanna go get lunch? Or do you wanna come study with me in the library, please? Because I need somebody to motivate me. Or do you wanna go out this weekend? Stuff like that, you know, just having a life in London with the people that have become your friends and these past few months, you know, just I just miss that a lot. But I try my best to keep in touch with them. I've been having Zoom calls with my friends, which sounds weird, but it's really effective. And it's also, you know, it keeps you kind of it reminds you that uni is not over. It also helps in studying as well, because when you talk to other people, even if you're both not doing anything, that still reminds you that there's so much you need to do. And LSE campus, I just miss the LSE campus in general. I used to go to I can't believe I forgot the name, the Shaw Library. And I love that spot because, okay, I'll just say it. I'm not the biggest fan of the actual LSE library because I feel like it's really loud. And I kind of like libraries that have this old feel to them. The Shaw Library is kind of the place that I like more. And I miss being there, you know, studying. And if I want to take a break, there's the terrace there, or the balcony, I don't know how to call it. I don't know. And, you know, just walking around LSE and bumping into people that, you know, I just miss the life there.
Yeah, totally get it. Is there anything you believe you have gained from the experience in quarantine?
I would say it's maybe it's a lesson for life in general. Because it's really, I think it's easy to give yourself excuses, because now I could say, oh, you know, there's a pandemic going on and I don't feel like I want to study and I don't see the point, and it's really unfair that we still have, you know, to act as if everything is normal. So these are all a bunch of excuses that I could give myself, and, you know, sometimes, some days I do, but you kind of need to get out of that headspace where you don't want to do anything because, you know, there's a justification that you feel is reasonable. And, you know, just adapt to the circumstances that we have right now. because yes, it's not ideal, but also we need to be grateful for what we have. You know, we still have online libraries. You know, you can get almost anything you need to study there. You still can contact your teachers, and they're very patient. You can have Zoom calls with them. They're willing to help. So there's just a lot of things that we have that are available to us right now that you need, that we need to be grateful for, and just adapt as well. So I think what this quarantine life has taught me is just adapting and being grateful for what you have.
Yeah. Well, that's all very true. thank you so much, Safa, for this wonderful conversation. It really was a happy conversation, a very good coping mechanism.
Yeah. Well, I hope anybody's listening. I hope I made you feel better. If I didn't, I'm sorry. But, you know, take my advice. Believe that everything will be fine. Connect with your family. And I'm sure it's going to get better, you know.
Yeah. I hope you stay motivated. And let's hope we'll be together soon.
Yeah, I hope so. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Our guest today was Safwa Beredi, who spoke to us about her experience of isolation in Morocco. To listen to more of our past episodes and keep up to date with our output, follow us on Spotify. I'll see you next time.